Welcome to this episode of Adoption Unfiltered, previously known as Three Sides to Every Adoption. Hosted by myself, Sarah Easterly, I'm an adoptee, Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, a birth parent, and Lori Holden, an adoptive parent. You may have noticed that we've taken a bit of a break in episodes. That's because we've been locked up in our various writing corners working on a book together.
We are so excited to share that our book has been turned into our publisher. Adoption Unfiltered, Revelations from Adoptees, Birth Parents, Adoptive Parents, and Allies will be released on December 1st of this year. And we are so eager to share it with you. Soon we're going to devote an entire episode to catching you up on our goals and dreams for our book and how we intend for it to represent you and your experiences in adoption. We've already been thrilled with the support and feedback we're getting from early readers, and we can't wait for this book to be in your hands.
But for today, we are here with a new podcast episode. Our podcast will now be going by the same name as our book, Adoption Unfiltered. Let's dig into today's topic, which is healthy engagement. So what does that look like? Here we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Adoption Unfiltered. My name is Lori Holden, and I am an adoptive parent. And I'm joined today by my colleague, my co-author, and my friend, Sarah Easterly, who's an adoptee. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And also our other colleague, co-author, and friend, Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, who's a birth mom.
Hi.
One thing that the three of us have learned is that talking with each other respectfully is a good way to better understand other viewpoints in adoption. But what does that mean, respectfully? Are there hidden rules of engagement in adoption? If we were to make these rules more apparent, what would they be revealed to be? In this episode of Adoption Unfiltered, we're dealing with the topic of healthy versus unhealthy engagement when it comes to conversations about adoption. What are or should be some of the rules of engagement? Let's kick this off by asking you, Sarah, what makes for healthy engagement in adoption spaces? If a person finds out that you're an adoptee, for example, is it okay to ask a question of you as an adoptee?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, adoptees, I think we have been feeling for quite a while that we haven't had a voice. And so, you know, here's a plug for Adoptee Voices, not just the writing groups, but all Adoptee Voices getting to speak and help. I think, you know, historically they're our voices, and this is going way back, but our voices have been missing when it comes to policy and parenting, the books that are out there, all led by professionals, and adoptive parents largely are dominated by that. So it's good. It's good to be asked. It's good that our voices are being sought now, and listened to and, respected. I feel like there's definitely been headway there. But I appreciate you asking, because that question alone speaks to the respect, because there's a line of asking, and then not taking advantage. You know, I mean, like, are we getting into like consulting zone or is it like a simple question? I think those are individual case by case situations to kind of judge, but there should always be kind of a respect behind it. So I think you're starting in a really good place, Lori, and I appreciate that. I will say that adoptees are kind of a tender spot is feeling used. Often we are kind of, you know, and this is just really a blunt way to say this, but we are often used to make a family. That's a very blunt way to say it. I know that there's other things that go around that. But that can often just give us a kind of uncomfortable feeling, if we are being used. So I think that, just being sensitive to emotional labor, and knowing that adoptees are often natural helpers, we want to help. There's a psychology behind that. Sometimes helping makes us feel like we matter. And so just not taking advantage of those things and being aware of some of the underlying emotional dynamics that may not be true for everybody. And not everybody wants to help. And so kind of reading the person, I think, you know, I think a lot of us, myself included, want to help. We want to make a difference in adoptee lives, and family lives. But not everybody feels that way. Some people are hurting and have rightful reasons that they don't want to help. So I think you've got to, it's kind of getting to know each person and what, you know, getting a feel for them. And I think that leads to kind of the biggest thing I would say on this topic is real authentic relationships, not lead to the ability to be able to read the person and know what's right to ask and know where the boundaries are and being respectful in how you ask, not just, I've got a question, you're an adoptee and here's my situation, but I really want to get to know you and you're a human and you matter. And as we develop a relationship, then questions and conversations are going to naturally arise. So kind of a social niceties, basics as well.
Yeah, that brings up two things for me, and they're kind of tied together. One is you mentioned finding that space between giving somebody a voice and taking something from them, finding that nuanced place. And then also, if you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to be attuned to them. You're going to already kind of you're going to already put something in with that relationship before, so that you have something to draw out when you do want to ask a question. So that's kind of what I'm hearing, is that this is more relationship based when you call on that. Kelsey, how about you? Has it ever happened to you where somebody finds out you're a birth parent and they start asking you about that or make some comments or anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty unique experience in the grand scheme of like society to have relinquished a child for adoption voluntarily. So people always have questions and people always have comments and opinions as well. And so it's kind of, I know a lot of birth moms, it's a gamble on something that we hear all the time. You know, people nonchalantly just ask you, how many kids do you have? And so this is a question that it actually is really hard for birth moms to answer. And we have to rely on like our gut and our initial sense of the person asking the question to know if we can trust them with that or not. And a lot of it is also relationship based. And so that question and the possible rabbit hole that, you know, you can be led down by being truthful about your answer. It's very stressful. And also when the other person has a possible experience with adoption, whether directly as an adoptee or an adoptive parent, or everybody knows somebody who's adopted too. And so a lot of people have preconceived opinions and ideas walking into that conversation. And so that's a gamble as well. And I tend to feel like there's a lot more room for, I guess, kind of disrespectful conversations when people bring their preconceived ideas about adoption, but don't bring their mutual respect and empathy and understanding. I think those have to be a two-part deal when coming to a conversation with us. And so I've heard, you know, on summons, I've been in conversations where people immediately assume, oh, you're a birth mom, you placed a child for adoption, you're pro-life, and you're this and you're that, and how amazing are you? And that's not a productive conversation, and it's very awkward to be kind of just made a pawn in a political controversy. And so those kind of making assumptions about our circumstance, about what happened on both sides, to assume that we were all forced to place a child for adoption as well. It's an awkward situation to have assumptions placed on you, and then you kind of feel like you have to dig your way out or just stop the conversation altogether. And I think that really stunts relationships when we feel that way. So,
Kelsey, hearing you talk about those preconceived notions around adoption and some of the prevalent messaging. We get that a lot too. And that's something that can, that's a conversation shutter downer. Mm-hmm. If that's such a word or a phrase, but I will say there's a lot of times someone might be asking a question, but then it turns around to just offering advice, and adoptees are often seen as children and someone to just, oh, well, you're still figuring it out. Or I know your parents loved you so much. And, you know, it, which may be irrelevant. It may be like it started with a question that they were having, and then you end up getting told some of the things that are really hurtful. And you should be grateful. And some of those messages too. So we get that as well.
I think those kind of conversations, especially like when you've just met the person or something, or you don't have a deep relationship with them at that point. I think it's just, for me, it's exhausting. It's like, I need to go lay down after having that kind of conversation, because, and I'm an overthinker, and I know, Sarah, you are as well. And so I think that those kind of things can leave you pondering for days. And it's like, did I say the right thing? Should I have just shut up? What should I have done? And overall, those kind of things, we just don't need to go there a lot of times. I think it's just good to make sure you're not digging too deep in what could possibly be a very touchy subject. There's a lot of touchy subjects outside of adoption that we have kind of a social awareness to not go there with. Like, I'm struggling to think of one, but I know that we have them. And I sometimes wish we would treat adoption the same. Not that we should never go there, but just that we should be more sensitive. And we're not, I say this actually a lot about birth moms, and how we talk about the birth moms within our constellations, and that we're not kept inside glass boxes at the museum for people to tap on and read about. Like, we're real people. And so I wish that people, when they would approach me, they wouldn't tap on the glass box around me and read about me or read what they think are the words of my book. I wish that they would just get to know me as a person outside of that first. So
I'm kind of smiling, Kelsey, because I'm thinking we should, instead of just religion and politics as being the too hot to talk about topics, we could add adoption into that too. But I'm also curious for both of you, when you're envisioning these conversational approaches, are you primarily meaning adoptive parents coming to you, or just general people coming to you and asking you things, or like who's doing this? And I suppose I should also wonder, are they doing it to me too? And I should think about that.
It is adoptive parents for me. I have never had any birth parents. I've got to go back. I shouldn't say never. It's a dangerous word, but I can't think of any birth parents who've come to me asking questions. And for adoptees, it's totally different. like, it's, you know, we're on a different mind level, and just, you know, that it wouldn't even land as someone coming to me for advice. It's just conversing with a comrade. But yeah, it is adoptive parents, primarily in my case, coming to adoptees.
For me, I think it's been both adoptees and adoptive parents, but, it could be anybody. It could be people that my cousin's sister's husband was adopted and I know everything. And, or I read 13 articles in the Parents magazine. And so I know everything about it. And now I'm going to, you know what I mean? And so there's just a lot of assumptions. And so from everybody, one thing Americans love to have is opinions. And so I think that it could be anybody. It could be anybody. There's no, and it could be your own family. A lot of times it's been that for me too. So you never know.
Yeah, sometimes it comes to me from totally outside of adoption world, just, oh, you adopted your kids. How do you do that? What's that like? You're so great. What a hero you are. Some of the stereotypes. And like you said earlier, Kelsey, sometimes I decide in that moment, am I going to correct, you know, am I going to, how much am I going to get into it with somebody who I may run again, up against again or not? But I'm wondering now, if this is from the adoptive parent's standpoint, or maybe from everybody, if would consent and opt-in be a good place to start and a good, like, making this rule more apparent before you strike up a conversation with somebody and ask them their experience, maybe get their opt-in, say, would you mind if I talked to you about this? Or you might, would you mind if I asked you two questions about this or something like that? Does that, would that help? Is that a good step?
I mean, I think yes, but also be prepared to hear a no. People ask me that a lot in my inbox, like, can I ask you a question about my own adoption? And I have said no before, because sometimes I'm not a social worker, I'm not a therapist, and like, I'm not qualified. And I also feel like you shouldn't be asking people on social media for every answer that that you may need. You very well could need professional help, and there's no shame in that, and that's totally fine. And I think we put a lot of trust in people on the internet. Maybe we should back off on the trust that we put in to people we don't really have a relationship with online. But I think, yeah, I think consent is a good start.
I would agree too. And I think, you know, again, this just kind of speaks to context and relationship. I think that question might land a little awkwardly if it were a total stranger. But if it were someone I was engaged with, then I think that's totally different. So I think that does give me the power to say yes or no. I think boundaries can be really hard for adoptees. So I think for me, the onus is on the person asking to just be sensitive, and not all adoptees are the same. So one adoptee's opinion might be different from another's. And so I think that, you know, what are the questions being asked? And I think that professionals are very important as well. So not to treat, you know, an adoptee. And at the same time, we have lived experience that really could be very useful. And hopefully it could be, you know, hopefully for those of us who are willing, then hopefully that's an opportunity to lend some insight or a shift that a professional who doesn't have the lived experience may not realize. So I think there's an important thing there, important component there too.
Yeah. So it circles back around again to, is there some sort of relationship there, or is this out of the blue? Because you can do so much more in relationship than you can with a disconnection. So what about people who have kind of hung out a shingle? I talk about adoption, and that would include all of us and a lot of other people on social media, on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and blogs and podcasts and everything. What are some of the rules of engagement for approaching them with our questions? Sarah, do you have any ideas about that?
Just before I answer your question, Lori, I just want to say how important that is to have, and, you know, we've noticed that from the last 2.5 some years working together, just how important these cross siloed perspectives are. I have a lot of adoptee only spaces, and then I have several spaces like this one, with members of other, you know, other Constellation members. And it's really healthy. It's really healthy to get that balance. I think we can, you know, I love, I cherish my adoptee only groups so much. And I have equal love and good feelings for these cross spaces where I can kind of ponder things and, oh, like, you know, maybe I hadn't thought of this. So anyway, I just want to say just what that just thought came to me hearing you talk about relationships, just how important it is to just get out of your group. So
yet another both and. We can't let an episode go by without saying both of these.
And it's for those of us who feel safe. So like you said, we're putting up the shingles. It's not on everybody's shoulders to enter into these spaces and put the sign up and say that we're open for business. I think, you know, probably the best way is for those who really have the shingle up to pay for their services. So I'm thinking of lots of different entities and organizations and people who offer consulting. And that's probably like, that's the very best, safest way to engage. They're for sure open for business and you can pay for their services. So I think that's one thing. I think, you know, another is just, I guess, ask. I think I agree with you, Kelsey. I think the social media ask, I don't have time. I can't get to social media asks of personal situations. If I'm thinking of a case, Lori, where you had a friend who was in a really tough situation and you asked me if it was okay. And I said, yes, it's okay. And I decided in terms of my boundaries, I have time for one email exchange. It's not going to be more than that, any more than that. And we're in like consulting realm. So I think that's something to think of too. What's the time? And that's something we can all think about in terms of what are our boundaries and what works for us. For me, that worked for me. And it's kind of a case by case situation on some of these things. But I think for adoptees engaging this work and probably for birth parents as well, to just know what that boundary is and what you're willing to give and not be bitter about and not feel used about. And then for the people asking to just be mindful of the boundaries and accept the boundaries in a gracious way.
Kelsey, do you have any thoughts about when somebody has said, I'm here to talk about adoption, what are some of the rules of engagement around that?
Yeah, I think I used to, but not so much anymore. I'm not really super active like I used to be on social media, but I shifted years ago to a policy perspective and talking about just macro issues in adoption and shifted away from micro. I'm not a caseworker. That's not my strength. And I think some people thought that it didn't matter. And so they would ask me their specific questions for their specific situations. And I was like, not in that space. And it's not what I'm good at either. And so I think because they've put out a shingle in adoption doesn't mean that they've put out a shingle to be a case by case type of. So I think in yes, paying for their services and but also do a little, if you're gonna ask something like very personal or and you're not sure what realm they're in, I mean do a little digging to find out what exactly kind of consulting that they offer, if any. Go through their proper avenues. A lot of them have booking information out there, if that's what their, you know, their business setup is. And then you know, it may be something, if you can't tell of what they offer, ask them what they offer. And then you take an even further step back from asking for consent to ask a personal question and say, what is the proper avenue to utilize your services? Because I think it makes it even more broad, and you can, a lot of times when people ask me stuff like that, I can say, I don't, but I have a list of people that do, and I would love to send you their way. I think that that's also really helpful as well.
One of the things that's come up in our conversations together is that when you are approached as a proxy for something and somebody in another person's relationship, so how should I deal with my birth mom or my child is going through this thing? Can you give me adoptee insights? Is there anything you want to say I'm sure you kind of want to help because you want to help the situation, but is there anything new we have to say about that we haven't already said?
Yeah, every one of us is different. We're all unique. So I think that's putting a lot of pressure on to be the proxy. I always like to just go a little bit broader. I love psychology. I love understanding attachment. And so I like to kind of think about the attachment dynamics that could be at play and how I might feel, put myself in shoes and just give ideas. But that doesn't mean that it's the right answer. There's a risk of kind of assuming other people are, you know, going to tell you how to go about your day and answer every different hurdle, because they're just going to come up and it's going to be unique to your family, to your child. And there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable moments. Adoption's hard. It comes with a lot of pain. It comes with a lot of hurt. There's a lot of grieving that needs to be done, that a lot of adoptees, myself included, flee. We try to run from it. And so that complicates things. It makes it really hard. It can make the parenting journey really complicated. And so, of course, my children are biological to me, and it's hard. I want answers. I want to go to somebody and tell me what to do. But part of being a parent is working through and finding our way through that stuff. And so I think that, like, coming with really specific things and assuming that one adoptee can be the proxy to explain what's going on is just a setup for a lot of frustration.
I think in my experience, you know, asking questions about how to deal with a difficult birth mom, I'm not really, I'm kind of a girl's girl too. So for me personally, I'm not going to be an obstruction to your progress, but I'm not going to, there was one particular time I had somebody who probably just didn't really understand what I did or anything, asked me how they could stop contact with their kid's birth mom. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's super rare, and that obviously only happened one time, and like I said, I think it was a huge misunderstanding of who I am and what I do and my role. And so but there's a lot of things where I have a lot of loyalty for the women that we fight for and that we advocate for and shine a light on, and I'm not gonna cross that boundary. Even though, like, there's not every birth mom is my friend, but like I will always advocate for their rights and well-being. And so there's that line I won't cross. And I guess another one, and it may be more personal to me, is sometimes I've had adoptive parents say, I can't hug my child's birth mom, so I'm gonna hug you, and I'm not a hugger, so that's probably one thing. But also, adoption is so individualistic, and it's so case by case, and I'm not her. And I also hear that a lot of times, coupled with, like, I wish she was like you. And I don't really think that you do, because your child is a unique person, one of a kind, who comes from that woman, and they wouldn't be who they are without that woman. And so I think it's just an oversight, and I don't think that people have a lot of hurtful intentions when they say it, but I think if they were more mindful of it, they'd be able to see a larger picture of adoption if they were just a little more careful with how they view things and how they see other constellation members, etc. So
from being in listening mode, a couple of the takeaways I hear from Kelsey, I'm hearing you say, kind of look at the assumptions you're bringing into this conversation. What are you bringing from your experience with a birth mom or with an adoptee or a birth parent? Or adoption or whatever, what are you bringing into this, and what are you assuming and laying on this person that may not be there? So check your assumptions. And what I'm hearing from you, Sarah, is about kind of, we always talk about reading the room, but also reading the person, reading the moment, attuning, which is, you know, something that's so important in adoptive parenting, is being able to attune with where your child is in that moment. And we can use that skill, we can practice that skill when we're having these entering into these conversations online, by trying to figure out where are we with this? Is this a good time? Have I overstayed my welcome? If you do get into a conversation, you want to, you know, always be checking for the time to exit the conversation too. So why don't we start to wrap this up? Maybe we can try to list some of the roles of engagement that we've kind of pulled out today. I'll start with try to do this out of relationship. Try to have these conversations by first having some sort of a relationship, whether it's been established for a little while or you're just kind of talking with somebody in a Facebook group and saying, hey, I heard you say that and I really like that. Can I ask you one more question or something like that? Getting that permission would be a second one, maybe getting an opt-in and consent and being ready, being okay with a no. What else have we taken away today?
I would add just being aware of some of the dynamics for adoptees in particular, that sometimes our trauma responses can be wanting to be helpers and wanting to feel like we matter and wanting to be heard. And so just being mindful of that in the interactions and respectful and not taking advantage.
I like what that, Sarah, because you're saying value me by seeing me. And sometimes value means be willing to offer to compensate the person for helping you solve whatever problem you're coming to that person with. Kelsey, I think you mentioned to have really good boundaries. If it's not okay for you to engage, go ahead and say no, and that's fine. And you do want to engage, but you do want to be paid, you say, I can talk with you about it, and here's how to book an appointment with me, something like that. Be very clear. Clarity is another really important piece of healthy functioning relationships, is being clear within yourself so you can be clear with somebody else.
And I'm kind of recapping what Kelsey just said, but the comparison, not comparing, just each person is unique. I guess that's, you kind of covered that, Lori, but I would just add, sometimes adoptees get that too. You're doing so well. And in my case, my child isn't, and the comparing isn't helpful because everybody's different in how we're responding to trauma and separation wounds is different for everybody, but if it's not visible, it doesn't mean it's not there.
Any last words on the subject?
No, I feel like we covered it really well.
I wanted to open it up to anybody else because you've spent some time with us. We're kind of in a relationship. If you have something to say on what you think the rules of engagement look like, what respectful conversation looks like, what disrespectful conversation looks like, we'd love for you to leave us some feedback on our YouTube channel or on our website, adoptionunfiltered.com. And please tune in again the next time. We'll have more episodes for you coming up in the future. Thank you so much.